Well, good morning. Good morning, all. It's 11 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, and this is the monthly member outreach call. I'm Chris Rutkowski. I'm the member of the Board of Counselors who has the happy task of at least introducing these calls. And I also have the happy task this morning to note that members of the Federal and the Western Associations have been invited to join us and the American Association on this call. And we hope that's going to be the beginning of a long-term relationship for these monthly calls. I also have the task this morning of introducing our speaker being Deacon Jack Shea, who will be speaking to us about the Holy Spirit. A little background on Deacon Jack Shea. Deacon Shea was ordained for the Archdiocese of New York by Timothy Cardinal Dolan in 2010. Deacon Shea is the Director of Religious Education, both for St. John and Paul Parish and school in Larchmont, New York. Deacon Shea also teaches in the Diaconate Formation Program at St. Joseph Seminary. He was made a Deputy Deacon Chaplain for the Order of Malta in November 2017. And Deacon Shea will spend some time with us this morning talking about the topic, What Should We Know About the Holy Spirit? With that, Deacon Shea.
Thanks, Chris, and thanks everybody for calling in. Thanks to everybody for calling in. The question is, what should we know about the Holy Spirit? And the easy answer is, well, everything. But it's interesting because most Christians identify with the Holy Spirit from the New Testament. However, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Holy Trinity, always was and always will be. For example, in Genesis, we read that the Spirit was at creation. And in verse 2 in chapter 1, it says that now the earth was without shape and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the watery deep. But the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the water. We also know in the Old Testament, in the book of Job, this, that it's life, the Spirit is life-giving. The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life. Also that the Spirit is a teacher. In the book of Nehemiah, says, you imparted your good spirit to instruct them. You did not withhold your manna from their mouths. You provided water for their thirst. In Psalm 143, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. The Holy Spirit empowered figures of the Old Testament. As we read in Numbers regarding Moses and the appointment of the 70 judges, then I will come down and speak with you, and I will take part of the Spirit that is on you, and I will put it on them, and they will bear some of the burden of the people with you, so that you do not bear it all by yourself. And the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to them, and he took some of the Spirit that was on Moses and put it on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, but did not do so again. Most of all, the Holy Spirit will empower Jesus Christ, as we read in Isaiah. A shoot will grow out of Jesse's rootstock. A bud will sprout from his roots. The Lord will rest on him, a spirit that gives extraordinary wisdom, a spirit that provides the ability to execute plans, a spirit that produces absolute loyalty to the Lord. He will take delight in obeying the Lord. He will not judge by mere appearances or make decisions on the basis of hearsay. He will treat the poor fairly and make right decisions for the downtrodden of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth and order the wicked to be executed. Justice will be like a belt around his waist. Integrity will be like a belt around his hips. So while the Holy Spirit was with mankind in the books of the Old Testament, it was not yet a permanent presence in the world, as we read again in Genesis. So the Lord said, my spirit will not remain in humankind indefinitely, since they are mortal. They will remain for 120 more years. The permanent presence of the Holy Spirit will come later on that great feast of Pentecost, a Jewish harvest festival. Luke, in his Gospel and in the Acts of the Apostles, provides a good framework to help us understand that the Spirit is God and was with Jesus, who is also God, from conception to his ascension. And when he was leaving, Jesus said, "And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high." And later, "For John baptized in water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Some of the most comforting things Jesus said to us, I think, is contained in the last Sunday's gospel passage from John. The context is this. Jesus was enjoying the Passover meal with his apostles. He knew that his time with them was short, and he's telling them, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You have faith in God. Have faith also in me." The apostles, the first bishops or leaders of the Catholic Church, were being prepared by Jesus to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth. It's starting to sink in that they are being commissioned to tell a hostile world about the good news, and Jesus will not be there with them to lead them, at least in the way that they have known him for the previous 3 years. The apostles are commissioned to testify that all that Jesus did, the raising of Lazarus, the healing of the lepers, the feeding of thousands with a few loaves of bread and some fish. Also, they were to pass on the teachings of Jesus in, for example, the Sermon on the Mount and the parables Jesus used to explain what he meant to his listeners. They were understandably worried, and Jesus said this, "I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you all that I have told you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." Jesus encouraged his apostles then, and he encourages us to today. He tells us to trust him, to have faith in him, and to always remember that the Holy Spirit, our advocate, is watching over us. If we can manage to do that, then we will truly have the peace of Christ in our hearts. For Christians, the Spirit is revealed full force in that great day of Pentecost, as we read in the Acts of the Apostles. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues, as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven, staying in Jerusalem. At this sound they gathered in a large crowd, but they were confused because each one of them heard them speaking in his own language. They were astounded, and in amazement they asked, "Are not all these people who are speaking Galileans? Then how does each of us hear them in his own native language? We are Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, inhabitants of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the districts of Libya near Cyrene, as well as travelers from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Yet we hear them speaking in their own tongues of the mighty acts of God." They were all astounded and bewildered and said to one another, "What does this mean?" But others, scoffing, said, "They have had too much new wine." All this happened after Jesus ascended into heaven. He had told the apostles that he would not leave them orphans. Jesus asked his brothers to stay in Jerusalem and wait for the Holy Spirit, the Advocate, to come to them. The Spirit would support them and give them what they needed to do the will of God, namely to spread the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. The Holy Spirit did come to the apostles, as Jesus had promised. And Jesus asked us to trust him in the same way. He sends the Spirit to us first at baptism, at which we are adopted by God, and we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit. At confirmation, similarly to Pentecost, the bishop says to the candidate, "Be sealed with the Holy Spirit." The gifts we received at baptism are now confirmed or made stronger in us. Jesus knows that we can be weak or frightened. He knows that we don't like to do things that make us unpopular with others. He knows that sometimes it is easier or more pleasurable to sin rather than to be good. Because Jesus is God and knows what is best for us and what we need, he gives us all the help we need to do the right thing. The promise of the Father was and is the Holy Spirit. After the ascension, as we see in Acts, the Spirit became the person of the Trinity that was with the apostles and the early Christians every day. Just as Peter and his brothers received daily strengthening from the physical Jesus in the fellowship, the Spirit was now with them to keep them going. At Pentecost, the apostles received the gifts of the Holy Spirit, which enabled them to go forth and spread the good news to the ends of the earth. We receive the gifts at baptism, and then the gifts are strengthened at confirmation. Just as the apostles gained the strength and courage and wisdom they needed to carry out the mission given to them by the Lord, we have the same benefit. It's important for us to understand that the gifts of the Spirit, as well as his presence with us every day, can only be discerned by openness to God. We have to be open to the urgings of the Spirit. We really have to work at it. This requires making time for God in prayer and in reading the Scriptures, and of course, the sacrifice of the Mass. It is also virtually impossible for one to feel the action of the Holy Spirit if one is not leading a good life. Substance abuse, bad living, licentious behavior will cloud thinking and make it difficult, if not impossible, to listen to the Spirit. At this point, it's helpful to review the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. First of all, wisdom enables us to recognize the real value of persons, events, and things from God's point of view. In other words, to recognize who is a truly good person. Understanding helps us to make right choices in our relationships with God and others. We should always stop and ask God to help us make the choices we have to make. Right judgment helps us to seek advice and to be open to it. We do not always know what is best. It is good to get a second divine opinion. Knowledge helps us to know the value of things through our experience. We can learn from our mistakes. Courage gives us the strength to stand up for our beliefs. Reverence helps us to love and respect God and others. We should recognize who God is and respect him as the loving Father that he is to us. Wonder and awe, also known as fear of the Lord, helps us to recognize and respect God's greatness. For example, we should understand that God created this beautiful world that we live in, and we should take care of it. All these are given to us so that we can live out our lives doing the will of God. God gives us each certain talents and abilities, and expects us to use these to help others. In the daily prayer of the order, we say, be it mine to practice and defend the Catholic, the Apostolic, the Roman faith against sacrilege. Be it mine to practice charity towards my neighbors, especially the poor and the sick. It's difficult to do this unless we are open to the Holy Spirit, but with his help we will succeed. The Order of Malta has existed in many different eras over its history and faced many challenges. The times we now live in are very challenging, and the Roman Catholic Church seems to be under attack from many quarters, from without and within. I believe that the Church looks to the Order of Malta for support, and we must be ready in our own ways to provide that support. Remember, the apostles were fearful up until that moment when they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. In my role here as Director of Religious Education for our school and our religious education program, I prepared around 100 eighth graders for confirmation this year and another 100 for First Communion. The confirmation children heard the bishop say these beautiful words, be sealed with the Holy Spirit as he anointed them with sacred chrism. They have been taught that they have already received the gifts when they were baptized, but now the gifts will be sealed in them. Roughly one-third of the candidates attend our Catholic school, while the remainder attend the public schools in our area. This means that the Catholic school kids have religious studies every day, pray and attend Mass together, and receive the sacraments often. The others, perhaps, have one religion class per week, and sadly, many do not often get to Mass. I think this is a microcosm of the Church today. The world seems to be becoming hostile to the Church and to religion in general. We have a core group of Catholics that are devoted to the Church because we understand that the Church gives us everything we need to get to heaven. Certainly the members of the Order of Malta are part of this group. But there is a much larger segment of people who perhaps identify as Catholic, but do not attend Mass, receive the sacraments, and pray, and thus their children do not either. Our first communion masses, showed this clearly. The second graders knew how to participate in the Mass because they had been trained. However, their parents really didn't know how to participate in Mass. The celebrant had to tell people when to stand and kneel. This does not bode well for the future. This is similar to what the apostles faced 2,000 years ago. They were going out into a seemingly hostile world of pagans and non-Christians and non-Jews to spread the good news. Other than John, they all suffered martyrdom. Yet they were all committed to spreading the word of God because the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, was with them. We, as knights, dames, and chaplains of the Order of Malta, need to carry on their work in whatever way is possible for us in our own lives and situations. This can take many forms, depending upon our circumstances. Daily prayer, especially for our malades by name, for those we know who have fallen away from the Church, for an end to abortion, euthanasia, and other life-ending abominations, adoration of the Blessed Sacrament, and performing the corporal and spiritual works of mercy. The Holy Spirit is with us to guide and support us along the way. We can lean on Him. In one of my own daily petitions, I ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit to inspire all those whom He is calling to His service in the priesthood, the diaconate, the religious life, and the Order of Malta to listen to His call and act on it. The descent of the Spirit at Pentecost transformed the first followers of Jesus, who had previously hidden in fear from those responsible for Jesus' crucifixion and were unable to understand God's plan for a crucified Messiah. However, after the Holy Spirit's coming, they understood God's saving plan and were able to proclaim it boldly, even at the cost of beatings, imprisonment, and martyrdom. The charisms of prophecy and of speaking in tongues, as well as healings and miracles in the name of Jesus Christ, were abundantly evident. The disciples were filled with joy and continual praise, even in the face of horrible persecution. To sum up, what we should know about the Holy Spirit is simply this. God understands that we all need His help to fulfill our responsibilities to Him and to the world, to discern what He wants us to do with the talents and abilities He gives us at our conception. Come home to Him someday. A life here is short compared to the eternal life with God. God wants us to come home to Him. Jesus said, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you?" Jesus told His apostles that He would send them an advocate or a helper to remind them of all that He did and said, so that they would go out to the world and tell everyone the good news. I took part in the pilgrimage to Lourdes in May. There were knights and dames of Malta from every continent on this pilgrimage, each taking care of a malade, transporting them to Mass, to the grotto, to the spring, where Bernadette was digging in the ground at the request of Mary, and praying with them and being with them at the everyday events of the pilgrimage, such as breakfast, lunch, and dinner. What is most obvious about the grotto is that miracles do occur. Some are obvious. There are definitely physical healings. However, the norm is the sense of peace that the Malads and all who visit experience. My mother experienced this as a Malad back in 1993. She was very angry at God that she had cancer and that it was discovered too late. However, she and my sister, who were both nurses, accepted the invitation from the order to go on the pilgrimage. My mother experienced the little miracle of Lourdes. She returned home both happy and at peace. Mom had surrendered to the Holy Spirit while she was in Lourdes and it took away her anger. She truly had the peace of heart, peace of Christ in her heart. And we saw this on the pilgrimage. After a day or so in Lourdes, I think the Holy Spirit comes all over us. The Malads are ready to accept what God has planned for them. The Spirit helps them and us to be open to God's plans and to accept them. Despite the suffering, everyone seems to feel or sense that we are in the care of the Holy Spirit, in a place where the Mother of God and our Mother appear to a little girl to tell her that she is the Immaculate Conception. Listen to what Jesus tells us. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. Peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Jesus encouraged his apostles then, and he encourages us here today. He tells us to trust him, to have a faith in him, to always remember that the Holy Spirit, our advocate, is watching over us. If we can manage to do that, then we will truly have the peace of Christ in our hearts. My is not too pretty. When I got into college many thousands of years ago, I figured I'd stop going to Mass. Now, this is after, in my young life, being an altar server every day, almost every day, in the Latin Mass, going on pilgrimages with my parents who were devout Catholics, going on missionary trips down south, food drives, everything that a Catholic family would be doing in the 60s. That was me and that was my family. However, as soon as I got away from my mom and dad and got into college, I stopped attending Mass. And to this day, I don't know why. It wasn't a rebellion or anything. It was just sort of a thing. I can't explain it. I'm not going to try. However, here's my Holy Spirit story. So one day, I'm sitting at a traffic light in Larchmont, waiting to go out to Brooklyn, actually the Brooklyn Navy Yard, where my company had a warehouse, and I was a sales manager. It's about 5:30 in the morning in February, pitch black, very cold, and I was by myself, total silence. The church that I'm now involved with, the parish that I belong to, was actually at the top of the hill, but I didn't know it was there. At any rate, my aunt, who was very close to me, was ill. Sitting at that traffic light, I blurted out the Our Father and the Hail Mary. Now, my friends, I had not said those prayers probably since I was in high school. But that day, I said an Our Father and a Hail Mary and asked God to heal my aunt. Well, that was the beginning of my journey back. And I can tell you honestly, and I believe this with all my heart, the reason that this all happened was because at that moment in time, in total silence, with nothing distracting me, with my aunt needing help, I was open to the urgings of the Holy Spirit. And I can honestly say that since that day, all those years ago, 30 years ago, I have tried my best to be open to the Holy Spirit. He led me to discern that I had a vocation to the diaconate, something I had never thought about in my lifetime. I didn't even know a deacon when I first felt that this was what God wanted me to do. And all through my training, my formation, I just kept saying to myself, whatever God wants me to do, I'll do it. and I'll be supported by the Holy Spirit. And that's something I think that we need to, I think that's what we need to know about the Holy Spirit. God sent the Spirit to us to help us, to be our advocate, our representative, so to speak, to take care of us. Just as the apostles were scared to death to leave that upper room and go out into a hostile world, the Holy Spirit was with them, and he's with us here today. So I thank you all for listening, and may God bless you all. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Deacon Shea. Very thoughtful, very timely, in light of Pentecost Sunday coming upon us here. I know I learned a lot. Certainly expanded my knowledge of the Holy Spirit and taught us all how we can benefit from that knowledge personally. And then towards the end there, of course, how we should call upon that Spirit to work his miracles in the world, which, as you point out, have happened and continue to happen. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate everyone who was on the call today. I know there's some folks who were unable to make the call. I would remind anybody who's listening right now that these calls are recorded, are available on the American Association website. I know we get a lot of folks, probably as many folks calling in after the fact to listen to them as we have actually on the call live. So please encourage your family, your friends, to take part of that particular opportunity on the website. And if I could, just to remind you that on July 3rd, the day before the 4th of July, our next spiritual outreach call will be offered by Bishop Peter Rosaza, who's going to talk to us about gospel verses that puzzle. Gospel verses that puzzle. And I'm looking forward to hearing those comments, and I'm sure we'll all benefit from them as we did from the comments of Deacon Shea. The best of to all of you. Thanks again, Deacon Shea. Have a great day, everyone.
Thank you. God bless.